Brent Beard, welcome inside the game in Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well, man.
Hey, I'm Ryan. Good to be with you tonight. Yes, all kinds of stuff along that line. So,
had you heard the Kirby Smart?
Now you mean as what? You don't mean as head coach, do you?
No, no. The Atlanta Falcons would go after him as a defensive coordinator.
I mean, there's also rumors about them going after Will Muschamp in the same way. So I'm not paying a whole lot of attention to that. I'll be honest with you, no.
Well, it's just one of those topics, and I'm reading the article and sort of diving in. It's not an article; it's just a tweet from a reporter at 680 The Fan in Atlanta talking about it, and I'm going to reference here in a couple of minutes. But you look at these coaching changes. It's not a bad thing that you're having. I mean, just at this point right now, some fresh ideas on that defensive side of the football is certainly needed.
There's no doubt about that. I maintain, and we've been talking about this now for two or three years, that as good as they are, this game's too complicated for these kids. They're trying to do too much in a short period of time, and it's just not working. So, I mean, they've got athletes on that defense that are capable of being on that field for every down and not just a couple downs or one down or whatever. And the fresher the ideas to get them to look at that, the better they're going to be.
And as we look at the conversation for a couple of minutes, I mean, there's a couple of things that you need to qualify to be on Nick Saban's staff, okay? And we don't know. I mean, Nick Saban told us yesterday he's going to get through the recruiting process. That's 2 weeks from today, National Signing Day, and then it'll be a couple of weeks, and then we'll have spring training start. Nick Saban says that he's going to go through a complete evaluation of trying to find, the guys that fits his system. But one of the qualifications, you better be able to recruit. But there needs to be some fresh energy on that side of the football. And I don't think it's any time to hit the panic button, but, you got to be a little bit concerned that this is 2 years in a row that you haven't played like you thought you should have played on that side of the ball.
Well, and it is, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, there were also times, as poorly as they played at times, on defense against Auburn and Ohio State, if you look at it fairly, they basically held Ohio State in the fourth quarter, except for Ezekiel Elliott's touchdown, to almost nothing. So, and the same thing could be said about the Auburn situation. After they got ahead of Auburn, they got that game under control, they were able to limit the Auburn offense almost to nothing. So, but they're still giving up too many yards and too many points compared to what they've done in the past. But at the same time, in this day and age, they've got to have an offense that, like they did this year, except for the fourth quarter of the Ohio State game, that can deliver and score points in bunches because they're going to need it. So we have to look at it with a balanced look.
As we look at Lane Kiffin for a couple of minutes, I think he was a perfect fit, and I've said it before. I think without him on this year's team, this team's not an SEC champ. They're not a 12-2 team, and they're not a Final Four team.
No, it's not even close. No, absolutely they're not. No, timing is everything in life, and the pieces fell together for Kiffin in this offense. In such a way that, I mean, it was an incredibly good season. It will be one that will be remembered fondly. I mean, it was almost a championship season, a magical season. But there's no doubt about it. With all of, Kiffin has his flaws and his faults, but without him, this offense is nowhere near where it could have been. And I agree with that. That they would not have. They would not have scored the points they didn't. They had to score against Auburn. They're coming back and beat LSU at the end, and get ahead of Mississippi State. I agree with that absolutely. So because they were able to use the weapons well.
Brent Beard right now, 1010XL out of Jacksonville, Florida. It's collegesportsnotebook.com, collegesportsnotebook.com. Brent, let's go around the SEC for a couple of minutes. Let's stop off in Athens, Georgia. Mark Richt getting a contract extension, a little bit of a raise. You like this?
It's typical. It's a bump in pay, which is pretty good. We don't like to have an $800,000 bump in pay to go to $4 million, and then he gets a couple years extension for recruiting. I'm fine with it. I know some Georgia fans would like to see a little more bang for their buck, frankly, to be making that kind of money, and they're just not able to see it right now. But I can understand it. It's one of those things to where there was some real noise coming out of the Georgia camp on the day of the bowl game that Rick may be really thinking about stepping aside or some changes being made. But he's weathered the storm as he does, and without belaboring the point, I think the thing is people appreciate his Christian faith and what he stands for, but they also understand, Ryan, that they are not winning championships at Georgia. I mean, obviously, a lot of that's because of Alabama and the West, but a lot of Georgia fans are not happy to see his contract extended very much.
Let me go to basketball for a couple of minutes. I've covered basketball since I've been here. I used to be a basketball fan. When you have Anthony Grant as your coach, you either take it or leave it. It's sometimes mm-hmm. It can be a very boring brand to watch.
Yeah.
This program, to me, in my opinion, is on life support.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yes. Yeah, I think it is. I don't think there's any question it's on life support. You've got a situation where they have they've lost two games in a row. They should have won in South Carolina, and they had a miserable last possession of that game that had no chance of ever working. That they didn't start the play until they were way beyond midcourt, and then they get blown out by Kentucky. And see, the problem with the Kentucky loss is, I understand it because you're dealing with lottery picks, and some of the media were talking about, well, you know, you just can't beat anybody that has 9 lottery picks. Well, you know, I get that, Ryan, but why does Alabama not have 1 lottery pick? That's what I don't get. And tomorrow night they go to Arkansas, which is one of the hottest teams that is around. And they've got Auburn coming in. They're probably better than Auburn, but at the same time, Pearl's a really good coach, and he'll probably have them play well. They've got a Florida team that could go either way, and then they go back to Kentucky. So, the reality of it is, in these next 4 games that are coming up after losing 2 in a row, Ryan, the possibilities are, if they split these games, they'll probably be doing well.
Well, and I guess the topic that I was trying to look at is, when you look at the Kentucky game, I don't think anybody expected Alabama to beat Kentucky. But you also didn't expect them to get blowed out in front of their home crowd. I mean, you've got a basketball fan base who, for one, wanted to see Kentucky because they're the best college basketball team in the country. Okay, now fair enough. But you had a chance, and you had an audience that you could sell that your program is headed in the right direction. Nobody expected you to beat them, but nobody expected you to get beat the way that you did.
Well, and particularly disappointing because Ole Miss and Texas A&M took Kentucky down to the wire, with overtime, and it was extremely disappointing. So I really do think, Ryan, that the rest of January is going to be extremely important for them, because in February they've got games on the road at LSU, Mississippi State, Auburn, and Vanderbilt. And truthfully, I think they may win one of them, and that would be at Mississippi State, and that would be it. So I mean, it's pretty easy. You can look at this remaining schedule, and there aren't a lot of wins in this remaining schedule.
Brent, what are fair expectations for an Alabama basketball? Remove Anthony Grant. Remove the last 10 years in your mind. What is fair expectations for Alabama basketball year in and year out?
I think it's fair for Alabama to look. They've got enough tradition. They've got enough resources. If they will use them, you could say this about a lot of SEC schools, to where this team ought to be going to the NCAA tournament on a regular basis. And that is not happening. Frankly, they ought to be able to. To me, there's no excuse in a five-year stretch why this team can't go to the NCAA tournament with the tradition that they have had and the fan base that they've got and the resources. And I would say at least twice during that five-year span, and I may be being conservative with this, and at least go on the Sweet 16 once. And that's something that they have not even smelled that in certainly within recent memory. And this record of being, I think it's 1-19 now against RPI top 50 teams. It just frankly unacceptable. So, Grant or no Grant, whoever's coaching them, with what I've seen over the, since 1970, watching them very closely in basketball, they're capable of much, much more than what they're doing.
Brent, let me ask you from the SEC perspective for a couple of minutes. What's it going to take? How are we going to change basketball in the SEC?
Well, I can tell you that. I think it's you've got to use more resources. You've got to upgrade these arenas. I know Florida is doing that for the O-Dome. But I think the bottom line is you've got to get better coaches in this league. Look, you've got Cal at Kentucky. You've got Donovan at Florida. You've got Pearl at Auburn. And you've got Frank Martin at South Carolina, who I think is an excellent basketball coach, who will eventually get them to where he wants them to go. Kevin Stallings, I think, has been okay. And frankly, that they had as good a run a few years ago as anybody did in the league. Jones at LSU is okay. But I think that's the cure of it. And I'll tell you this. If this was football, the fan base would not be putting up with what they're putting up with in basketball with this mediocrity.
Hey, but Brent,
they wouldn't at all.
But Brent, I can't blame the fans right now. I'm not able to do that because I'm talking about the SEC fans in general. What's the sales pitch? Kentucky, but after that, tell me. What persuades somebody to drive 3 hours to watch a basketball game?
I think if you've got a good coach and you've got an exciting team, the people would do that if they feel that their team could go to the NCAA tournament. I think that's pretty good motivation to see that. But the problem is you've got. Basketball has so many problems, frankly, the calendar needs to be delayed and start this thing in December or January, and there's some other things that as far as visionary wise that you could look at, but that's not in the cards right now. But I think if you had the right coach and you had some excitement going, people would come. I've seen it before, and I think it'll happen again.